Hi friends, I'm here with chapter 15, which is titled as Ethics in Human Resource Management. A very important process which we need to follow, not only as an HR person, but overall in the organization. Now, what are the objectives of this chapter? After studying this chapter, you should be able to understand ethical issues in HRM. Managing ethics. Benefits of and guidelines for managing ethics in the workplace. Key roles and responsibilities in ethics management. Tools of ethics. Ethical issues in HRM under the structure, managing ethics. Benefits of managing ethics at the workplace. Ethics in HRM, global context. Guidelines for managing ethics at the workplace. Key roles and responsibilities of ethics management. Then we come across ethic tools, code of ethics, code of conduct, policies and procedures, and training. And we conclude with the summary as usual. So let's get on with this. Cash and compensation plans. Issues on salaries, perquisites, incentives, long-term compensation, comparison between top management and function levels. This is one of the things which we handle, which is in the focus of this particular topic. Race, gender and disability. Differentiation due to gender, race, origin and disability. Third one is employment issues, hiring through recommendation, fake documents, etc. This particular depiction is showing you ethical issues in the HR and it's giving you some points which I'm reading out. Employee responsibility, cash and compensation plans, etc. Right? So I'll take you to the next slide. Employee responsibility, accident prevention risk program for employees at all levels. Performance appraisal, fair and democratic appraisal process, objectives and goal-centric. Taking further, operational organization restructuring and layoff, reorganizing legal ownership, operational structure of the company for better profitability, layoff being temporary, suspension or termination of employees. This is again an area where the ethical issues crop up and we have to handle it properly. Safety and health. Occupational safety and health, OSH as we call it, cross-disciplinary area protecting safety, health and welfare of people. Now managing ethics, those points which is put in the chart, please go through it again. Now all those points have a loophole where ethics can be thrown to the winds, and that's where a good organization will ensure that ethics in those areas are properly addressed. There's a likelihood of a slip-up of ethics, likelihood of slip-up of moral responsibility, likelihood of integrity going for a toss. So in managing ethics, let's see what are the thing points given here. Managing ethics covers the ethical treatment of employees, stockholders, owners and the public by a company. An organization is supposed to be a role model of what it has promised to the society and what it is giving to the society. If the organization says that we are going to manufacture quality goods or going to offer quality services, it's a promise made and people come to them, they should not be let down and they must walk their talk. These are customers. At the same time, within the organization, they promise certain things and they should ensure that they walk the talk and they fulfill it. In both cases, there are many lapses that happen and ethics are thrown for a toss. This does not happen by the HR department, but certain other people who are dealing with the public at large. So one of the roles with HR has to ensure is that these ethics are put in a certain framework, certain code of conduct is put and people are made to follow it. Organizations, while making profits, should give more emphasis on ethical way of operating, being respectful to people and environment, transparent and truthful. It looks very idealistic. I don't deny that. But can I go near that at least? Can I try to, when I'm dealing with multiple people, lots of people of different groups, there's bound to be certain dilution of certain ethical way of operating. It's bound to happen. But am I going to give up and say that that's the way it is? No. How strong my vision is, how strong my value statement is, and how much I walk my talk at the top level, that decides the ethical management at the bottom level. So it starts from the top. Ethics and ethical behavior are the essential parts of a healthy management. From a management perspective, behaving ethically is an integral part of the long-term career success. If you are ethical throughout your day-to-day working, it goes up, it mounts into an integral part of your career growth itself. You are identified as a person who is very ethical. There are people who are seen as ethical people because they have got a good track record. When is your ethics tested? When things go wrong. When you have a shortcut to escape from an accident, when you have a shortcut to escape from a catastrophe, when you have a shortcut to escape from a sticky situation, that's the time your ethics are tested. Do you stand by what you claimed you are doing? Do you stand by the promise that you made? That tests your ethics. What are the benefits of managing ethics at the workplace? Besides moral benefits of attention to business ethics, there are other types of benefits below, as below. Attention to business ethics has substantially improved society. If a company or a number of companies are ethically operating, society gains a lot of confidence in them. There are some very good ethical groups in India whom we know just by the brand name, we like to go and buy goods or services from them. Because they are known to walk their talk. They are very, very customer oriented. Their employees are also very friendly. Within the company, there's a good ethical climate. And that's a really fantastic thing. That's how it impacts society. Ethics programs help maintain a moral scores in the turbulent times. I already mentioned it. When things are going from bad to worse, like what happened during the COVID time, the company's ethics came up. And good companies, they had creative ways in which their employees were treated during the COVID, like work from home and many other things that happened, but they did it in a very, very proper, humane manner, respecting the person's delicate position into which he or she was, at the same time making the work also happen properly. So this is a very sensitively balanced type of a thing that one has to follow. Ethics program cultivates strong teamwork and productivity. Definitely. When all of us are ethical, we walk our talk. We are not here to give lies and goody-goody talk. We are all talking about issues. So our teamwork becomes stronger. We start trusting each other and hence the productivity improves. Ethics fosters immense amount of trust. Walking the talk is ethics, not saying something and doing something else. Ethics programs support employee growth and meaning. You may grow in an organization, but if you had grown unethically, you know something is pinching you. There are people who are beyond the pinching. They are dead to their own, numb to their own ethics. And they start justifying, saying that this is okay. That's how businesses work around the world. While that's an argument. But you know, as an individual, how much of ethics you have really worked with and grown in your organization. Because that gives you the last word given there, meaning. It gives you meaning. It gives you a fullness in what you're doing. It makes you feel really good about what you've done. And it makes you feel that it's worth it. You don't become disillusioned. You don't talk negative philosophy, which is what some people do, I've seen. What to do? Companies are like that. Government is like that. Everybody's like that. So every company does this. At a senior level, you don't know what problem we face. Very oft-repeated statements from many people. But what is your... And the same people also complain about lots of other things. I said, if you started off with an ethics and you continued with ethics throughout, this is not ideal. This is something which is practicable. Quite a lot of people are following it also. Then you find that you're building up an edifice. Your own edifice and also the company. You're doing both. right? Ethics programs are an insurance policy. They help ensure the policies are legal. You know, when you it's like an insurance policy, when you have, there is a, you're indemnified, you're protected from anything legal, because they know that this is an ethical company. They file their returns on time, they pay their GST on time, everything is going very systematically, and they correct themselves if they are wrong without hiding things. Ethics programs helps avail criminal acts of omission and can lower fines. The criminal acts of omission, or even commission for that matter, may not even arise if their ethical programs are followed by everybody. Ethics programs helps manage values associated with quality management, strategic planning, and diversity management benefits needs far more attention. Now, these are all very complex areas. When you talk about quality management, when I want to create a quality, then I need to have certain type of honesty in what I do. Quality is not a gloss. It's not something which you give a painting on the top. It starts with everything, that from the start to end, it should be quality everywhere. And that can't be done unethically. Those of you are in quality, and those of you know quality, you'll agree with me. Strategic planning also. If I'm doing something of a long term, I can't settle my way through. I have to really do it in a very proper way. And the diversity management, for example, dealing with different multicultural people, being fair and square to everybody, being objective, work-oriented, that needs tremendous amount of ethical base. Ethics programs promote a strong public image. Of course they do. Overall benefits of ethics program is very high, and formal attention to ethics in the workplace is the right thing to do. Okay? Now, ethics in HRM global context, very important. HR acts as a custodian and the driver of the ethics of the organization, ensuring that codes are set, people are trained in complying with the codes and the policies. We are not making a document for the sake of it. Somebody has to drive the document into action through careful handholding on a time-to-time basis. And that's where the challenge is. When I talk about ethics to you, you may feel that this person is being idealistic, or he is being impractical with the today's world. It's very common to hear this. It's very common. But if a company has to go through that, then there is a certain amount of mentoring, coaching that has to happen in this particular process called ethics. It's very important. Ethics of working acts as a brand ambassador of the company and increases the credibility with their stakeholders. Ethics need to be spelled out clearly without any ambiguity, so that there are no multiple interpretation in action. An organization or a person who's ethical usually talks in very clear, simple, no-nonsense terms. You notice that. There are no vague terms given. I see some vision statements of companies, some of the so-called value statements of company, which are very vague. I can't pinpoint and say that this company will not do this when this thing happens. It is so vague, they are using such words. It's more by default, I'm sure, not by design. But then that doesn't, when I am not clear about my ethics, it shows in my expression. In my training of NLP, I talk about the importance of language, how it programs me and my value system. It does show. So ethics need to be spelled out clearly without any ambiguity. There should be no scope for any confusion, so that there are no multiple interpretations in action. Ethics is best learned, understood, and practiced in action when an employee who is hired comes from an ethical value-based behavior. Ethics can be imbibed. When you see people and you have a value for what they're doing, you can imbibe ethics also. It's very important. It's possible, but it has to be learned and understood. You must find a meaningfulness in being there. If majority people are doing something which is unethical, then you as an ethical person might feel left out. Am I doing the right thing? It's up to you to take a call. I'm not moralizing. I'm not saying ethics is the best or something. You choose. But it has always been seen historically that ethical people, ethical organizations thrive for a longer period, and they're at peace with themselves. And they know how to take decisions. This or that nothing in between and dithering and getting confused. Guidelines for managing ethics at the workplace. The following guidelines ensure that the ethics management program is operated on a meaningful fashion. Recognize that managing ethics is a process, ongoing process. The bottom line of an ethics program is accomplishing preferred behaviors in the workplace. Underline the word preferred behaviors. That type of behavior should come. I have a chance to do something nonsensical. Nobody's watching me. Nobody's going to document me. Do I do it? That's a preferred behavior. The best way to handle ethical dilemma is to avoid their occurrence in the first place. An ethical dilemma is a very tricky situation into which individuals and companies are trapped sometimes. A friend of mine, just to give an example, a friend of mine is very seriously ill. Anytime anything can happen to him. At the same time, I have to attend a very, very important strategic meeting at my office, wherein that meeting is going to decide the future course of action of my company for the next 5 years. And today's meeting is very crucial because all the stakeholders are there. Now, I am in an ethical dilemma. I value my friendship. I value my organization and my position and the type of trust they have on me. So what should I do? Now, this is an ethical dilemma. There are a number of ethical dilemma cases you come across when you're teaching ethics as a part of a subject. Now, this is the dilemma in which I have to take a call. Is it this or that? Or there's a third choice called integrative thinking. Can I integrate both? Can I ensure that that is taken care of and this is also taken care of? These are typical ethical dilemma into which people are trapped. And when they're trapped, you know, they take the path of least resistance. They might dump this thing by giving some excuses and lies here and go there. Or they may give lies and excuses there and be here. Now, when I say lies and excuses, it's inverted commas. It's not intentional. You know, the ethical dilemma is so strong that the person is not in a position to decide anything. It's like a person who trapped in a corner and he or she will wriggle out of it and do what happens spontaneously. The best way to handle ethical dilemma is to avoid their occurrence in the first place. So this is something that has occurred. It has just happened. So can you make some contingencies so that this sort of an ethical dilemma doesn't occur in other situations also? Make ethics decisions in groups and make decisions publicly is as appropriate. It's very important. Don't make an ethical decision sitting in the boardroom, make it secretive and then announce to the world. Let people get involved because they should know the importance of ethics. They should be able to understand ethics when you explain to them by examples, by incidents in the company, critical incidents. Then it becomes easy for them to understand this is where I belong, this is what I should do, this is what I should not do. Integrate ethics management with other management practices, planning, organizing, staffing, all that we have learned in principles of management, right? So, can I ensure that there are ethical practices? My relation with the customers, customer complaints, am I ethical? A customer is sending back a product to me because it's defective, hardly about 1 week before he bought it. Am I ethical in dealing with him? Now, all this doesn't happen overnight. It's a carefully planned out culture which we need to create. Use cross-functional teams when developing and implementing the ethics management program. Let the marketing people, the operation people, let everybody come together and let each of them discuss the way they are handling ethics. Many a time there's a loggerheads relationship between the marketing people and the production people in many plants, many companies. Production people think that the marketing people are just going and doing anything, which is not correct all the time. And the marketing people think that these people are giving delay in delivering goods to them. That's also not correct all the time. So when you come together, there's a congruence. And then all of you are looking in the same direction of ethics. Value forgiveness. Now, what is meant by value forgiveness? Everybody is having certain values of working and operating. Now, can I hold my value as more important than yours? Every person's value makes him ethical with that value. So can I understand your ethics of operating? That will make me understand where we need to tune ourselves. Values create beliefs, and these two put together create a certain set of ethical behavior which with every individual puts out. Note that trying to operate ethically and making a few mistakes is better than not trying at all. Yes, when I'm ethical, I might make a mistake. Making a mistake is not a sin. People try to be politically correct. They project themselves as if they have never made mistakes. Every human being makes a mistake. Now, only thing is that make a mistake and learn to correct it, because that correction will tell you how not to do it again. It is not to encourage making mistakes. It is just to say that you have to tread on the ground. Only then things will be clear to you. Key roles and responsibilities in ethics management. Depending on the size of the organization, certain roles may prove useful in managing ethics in the workplace. These can be full-time roles or part-time functions assumed by someone really in the organization, already in the organization. I would rather add experienced persons. People who have seen life, people who have had life situations, they would be in a better position to get into this ethics management in a proper way. So it can be a role. There can be a chief ethical officer, if I can use a term, somebody who can take care of the ethics of the company, or there can be some people who are already working in some roles who can double as this. An ethics committee can be formed, something like that. You may call it with a different name, but ultimately it is going to take care of the values of the company and the ethical way we operate. The following responsibilities should be included to implement and manage ethics. The organization's chief executive must fully support the program. The support has to come from the top. Consider establishing an ethics committee at the board level. Consider establishing an ethics management committee which runs it on a periodic basis. Consider assigning and developing an ethics officer who is closely monitoring how it is progressing. Consider establishing an ombudsman, a person who is a spokesperson and who takes care of who is approachable and who acts as an ear to the company and who is able to give proper feedback. Note that one person must ultimately be responsible for managing ethics management program. If you ask me who's a person who's ultimately responsible, the buck stops at the top level. The person sitting at the topmost level is a person who's responsible for the ethics or the lack of it in the company. We have got a number of cases of people at the top level who have just quit the company because somebody down the line violated an ethics with the top people have been announcing about themselves. The top person did not make a mistake. It was not his issue, but he took the moral responsibility of quitting. If every one of us works from that point of view, from the day we start at the bottom, then slowly we'll find that we are able to understand what is ethical working in a company. For that matter, ethical working everywhere, even in your home. Why not? Ethics tools. First, we talk about code of ethics. Code of ethics is a carefully thought out document depicting how the overall organization has to function on ethical issues by following the document religiously. In a large organization, we may have to create separate code of ethics for the various divisions, sections and departments in line with their code of ethics for the whole organization. So there's a code of ethics for the organization, then you may have code of ethics for each department or division separately. In some large organization, you may need to do it. A few guidelines need to be followed while developing code of ethics. Review and adhere, stick on to the values relevant to laws and regulations. You can't create your own law when the law of the land is saying this, when the company law says certain things. Those have to be reviewed and they must adhere to it. Review and adhere to top three or four values and traits of the highly ethical and successful product or service or even organization. Identify values needed to address current issues at your workplace. Identify behaviors needed to resolve these issues. There are issues that keep cropping up time and again in every company. what values am I going to use for addressing this? Am I going to make a quick fix solution type of a behavior? Those have to be properly, carefully thought out. And it should be given as a guidance to people down the line, especially the operation people who are dealing with customers on a day-to-day basis. In service sector, this is very, very important, because when you're dealing with a service officer in a company, a customer like me, the way he or she operates with me through the behavior amply demonstrates what sort of ethics has been permeating down. Has it really come down to that person or not? I come to know as a customer. Identify values and behaviors needed for strategic actions, for long-term things. Identify top ethical values that are respected by stakeholders. Very important. Who are the stakeholders? The people who have got interest in your company. Either they are shareholders or people or suppliers, your logistics people with whom you are giving your transportation outsourcing. All these people, they are looking at you and they matter to you. You matter to them. So how are they looking at you? The way your AGMs are held and how the shareholders look at you, the way you're disbursing, you know, dividends and bonus or whatever. Now, are those going in line with certain way of ethical operating thinking? Draw from the above steps the top 5 or 10 ethical values which are of high priorities. Examples of ethical values might include trustworthiness, honesty, integrity, promise keeping, as loyalty and respect. As loyalty, right? Next is respect. Autonomy, privacy, dignity, courtesy, tolerance, and acceptance and caring. Do you respect the person? Are you trustworthy? Do you respect? Do you gain respect? Do you trust? Do you gain trust? Responsibility, accountability, and pursuit of excellence, civic virtue, and citizenship. As a company, whatever I'm doing for the society. The society is coming to me because I made a promise that I'll give you the quality goods and services. And I must have the civic virtue of dealing with the society, the customers, and all the stakeholders in a proper manner. There are times when they may be not properly informed. There are certain grapevines that may be talking nonsensical things about your some actions of yours. Now, do you have the responsibility to correct it by a proper communication through a PR mechanism? Okay. Examples of ethical values: caring, compassion. I think this has already been done, so I'm skipping this. Create and compose your code of ethics wording so that it is easy to read, comprehend, and implement without confusion. Make it very simple to understand. Obtain feedback and review from key members of the organization. How is it working? Do you think there's a modification? Take some updates from them. Take some feedback from them. Update the code when it is needed to. A code of ethics written today may not be valid 5 years from now due to changing conditions. So it needs to be reviewed. A new version has to be created. Having created a code of ethics, we also need to create what is called a code of conduct. Those ethics will be shown in action only when you by the way you conduct yourself. So codes of conduct specify actions, underline the word actions, at the workplace, and codes of ethics are general guides to decisions about those actions, explains Craig Nordland, Associate General Counsel and Secretary of Hewlett-Packard. It's a historical statement. Okay? He suggests that code of conduct contain examples of appropriate behavior to be meaningful. When I behave like this, this is a code of conduct. This is in line of code of ethics. So, code of ethics is abstract for the person who is working on a day-to-day basis. If you tell him, be honest, what he thinks is honest, he'll be. But if you show him that this action of yours is a sign of honesty, then he knows how to act. So, code of conduct is a translation of one's understanding of the role of the code of ethics into action and behavior. Developing a code of conduct, an overall code of conduct is developed for the organization, and for larger organizations, separate code of conduct is drawn to suit the work functions of various divisions, sections, and department. So we can have a code of conduct which is separate for each vertical, having a main code of conduct which is a guideline for this. The following guidelines need to be considered while developing codes of conduct. Identify key behaviors, underline key behaviors, needed to adhere to ethical values as proclaimed in the code of ethics. Include wording that indicates that all employees conform to the behaviors specified in the code of conduct. The code of conduct will say that this is how you are supposed to behave in this situation. So ensure that the behaviors are put in action. Obtain review from the key members of the organization. Announce and distribute the new code of conduct. Now we come to policies and procedures. Update policies and procedures to produce behaviors preferred from the code of conduct. Include policies and procedures to address ethical dilemma. Include policies and procedures to ensure training of employees on ethics management program. Now, what is this training? We'll try and understand what it is. Okay. Include policies and procedures to reward ethical behavior and impose consequences of unethical behaviors. Include grievance policy for employees to resolve disagreements with supervisors and staff. Review all personal policies and procedures periodically. Now we come to the last part, training. We talked about ethical code of ethics, code of conduct. Now we come to training, the fourth one. The ethics program is essentially useless unless all staff members are trained about what it is, how it works, and their roles in it. The nature of the system may invite suspicion if not handled openly and honestly. Somebody talks about ethics at the top. Now that ethics is so abstract and is subjectively seen by many people at the operation level. Now if this is not translated into a behavior through training, then they may see it with a lot of suspicion. They say these guys are doing it for their own benefits. A union may say that. Or they may not cooperate in whatever you're saying. They'll do only what they want to do. That will dilute your very ethics program. The nature of the system may invite suspicion if not handled openly and honestly. So be open, be honest, and walk your talk. In addition, no matter how fair and up-to-date a set of policies may be, the legal system will often interpret employee behavior rather than written policies as de facto policy, which means if a customer has encountered a rude behavior from a service guy, a person who's giving him service has been very rude with him, he goes and complains. Now, when customers complain, just to give an example, I'm not saying it happens all the time, I may just go and say that this guy was rude with me. So I try to pin down the company saying that this company doesn't know customer service. I won't talk about the full story. Whenever I complain, I'll complain only what is okay for me, because I'm crying out for help. Now, when you talk to the service guy, you come to know that I have behaved rude with him. I've shouted at him. This happens in many cases. So what will people say? People only look at behavior, unfortunately. They don't look at how the behavior came. They don't look at the totality of the behavior. So both the sides of the stories you have to hear. And then there are so many things that happen. So that's what is the last point. In addition, no matter how fair and up-to-date set of policies, it is legal system will often interpret employee behavior rather than policies, the de facto policy. What it means? The behavior of this particular service guy should be made in such a way that it is foolproof. There should be no scope for any type of a foul play. His good behavior in line with the ethics of the company should not be misconstrued. In other words, it can happen many times. He is playing a role, and that role is in line with the ethics of the company. Now, if that role is disturbing me as a customer and I start complaining, I can bring the consumer court, I can do many things. People do that. Now, that doesn't behove well. The company still stand by what they did, and they'll try to show that this is why we did what we did. There are a number of examples. Recent times it has happened in the last few months, which I would not like to say it right now because it will... But you can imagine what it is, right? Therefore, all staff members must be aware of and act in full accordance with the policies and procedures. This is true whether policies and procedures are for ethics programs or personal management. For both. For the ethics program people and also for the HR people. The full accordance requires training about policies and procedures. Training basics for supervisors and learners. Orient new employees to the organization's ethics program during new employee orientation. In the orientation program, we give many things. So this should be an important part of it. This is what the company stands for. These are the do's and don'ts as far as ethics are concerned. Review the ethics management programs in management training experiences. Involving staff in review of codes is strong ethics training. Let them go through the review of the codes. They may give some feedback. Involve them. So there is an overall involvement of the whole organization into understanding the codes and to practice it in through training. Training basics for supervisors and learners. Continuing further, involving staff in review of policies, ethics and personal policies is strong ethics training. One of the strongest forms of ethics training is practice in resolving complex ethical dilemma. Include ethical performance as a dimension in performance appraisals. That will actually be a great thing to do. In the performance appraisal, one has to measure how this person has achieved his targets. Has he used unethical practices, which is not in line with the company's policies? Then he has to be addressed. Give all staff a copy of the free complete guide to the ethics management. Create a document called a complete guide to ethics management in which all these codes are there, and that person is able to get himself familiar as to what is to be done, what is not to be done. Finally, we come to the summary of this chapter. Management ethics are the ethical treatment of employees, stockholders, owners, and the public by the company. HR ethical issues arise in employment, remuneration and benefits, industrial relations, and health and safety. There are various types of benefits for managing ethics at the workplace. There are also guidelines to ensure that ethics management program is operated in a meaningful fashion. It's important for organization to review their policies at least once a year to ensure they are in accordance with laws and regulations. With this, my dear friends, I conclude this module. I'm sure it's added value to you. Wish you all the best. Thank you.